firm cutting today, and this is the usual when it comes to this time of year, especially when you're dealing with Adar Aleph and other days, when you're dealing with two others. It's typical that people want to hear shmooze based on firm, meaning you want to hear something based on firm itself. Just get yourselves ready. After all, it would be firm if not for the fact that Chazal were metaking an extra Adar. It would be firm today. And you got to get yourselves ready. I mean, you need achanos for such a day like this to try to get yourself to understand this idea of mishenichnas adar marvin b'simcha. So we're going to have two basic ideas here. We're going to, number one, try to understand what the concept of simcha is, and number two, we're going to try to concentrate on what simcha isn't, the differences between those two. Okay, so Rashur writes in a few different places that simcha and hololus are very different from one another. Hololus, I guess, would be translated as fun. Hololus would be an idea of where you're just bringing up your spirits, and you're doing things, but there's no real inherent simcha behind it. Great America, going to Great America, and going on roller coasters, and riding along, and just walking around the whole park, that would be considered hololus. Disney World would be considered hololus. A Bulls game would be hololus. The Super Bowl, watching it, would be hololus. Going to soccer games, I would assume, is nothing at all. I don't think that's even in the level of hololus. I would assume that's almost like nothing. But a drinking party would be hololus. The common denominator behind all those ideas and everything I just mentioned, right, is that they include no kind of legitimate, spiritual, uplifting time. That everything about it is about the physical and about allowing yourself to have fun, allowing yourself to do something that whatever, but there's no ruchnius involved in those types of pursuits. And I guess in theory you can make Disney World spiritual, but it's not true. We know it's a physical pursuit that allows you to feel something good physically, but there's no real ruchnius behind it that you really can find. But you do have fun. They're all nice, and sometimes it's even necessary. Sometimes that's absolutely necessary for a person in their growth to be able to utilize to become better. But at the end of the day, that's not simcha. That's not what we would define as simcha. Malchus, Madai, and Pras were totally into hololus. And Nebuchadnezzar might have been as well. The Nebuchadnezzar seems more of like the dictatorship, like fear type of king, as opposed to Ahasuerus's party type of king. Malchus and Madai, Paras and Madai, I'm sorry, having an 180-day party. I mean, that is ridiculous hololus. That would put most nations' economies away for good. There's no way to have the entire nation take off 180 days to party, to not do anything for all those days. That's crazy. Just to think of a city doing that, the whole city will fall apart, the infrastructure will fall apart. There's no way you can even afford it. It doesn't even make any sense to do such a thing. The whole city, everything is going to break down. Who's taking out the garbage? Who's bringing the garbage somewhere else? Who's bringing more wine barrels to the palace? I mean, why weren't they invited to the party? Why, if everybody was invited, if everybody's there, right, then you'd think that those would be completely different. The Me'amloes actually brings down, the Me'amloes in Megillas Esther, brings down a story that there was a king who tried to copy Ahasuerus's 180-day party. Tried making his own and tried doing everything that Ahasuerus did, and he went bankrupt after 30-something days. And he couldn't do it anymore. And he was indebted for the rest of his life because you can't afford this. This doesn't make any sense. You can't have all these days off and making a huge party for everyone and bring everybody there. You fail miserably when you do just something like that. Just to afford to spend that much time there and take off your time from work to be there would be absolutely ridiculous. Mordecai looked at the Jews and he told them, you can't go to parties like this. There's no ruchnius aspect to this party. There is nothing you're going to gain from going to this party. It's the definition of hololus. They said, this is not for you. This is not the type of party that Jews should go to or Jews should have any shaychus to. It's not for us. We shouldn't go. And yet they said, Hashtia Kadosh. Listen, the drinking, it's going to be according to the law of the Torah, says the Gemara. They're going to be having more food than drink so that they purposely don't get themselves drunk. Notice, I mean, Achashverosh only got drunk on the 187th day of the party. That's it. Not during the first 186. On the 7th day of the extra 7 days after the 180 days, that's when he got drunk. Shtiakadas. The food's going to be kosher. The drinks are all going to be kosher. We're going to have special people in charge that are going to make sure that everything we need at this party is going to be taken care of. The kashrus will be the top level of kashrus. They're going to have everything double wrapped with little tape that says all around it CRC, and everything's going to be perfect. And although there's other things going on there, the kosher time that is going to, it's going to be kosher by all. The wine, you don't have to worry. The non-Jews are not even touching it. Mordecai, in fact, was in charge of the wine of the Jews. Watching over the wine and taking care of the wine to make sure that there was no Yayin Nesek that was being served to the Jews. It said, Ashtia Kados. That's not a problem. The party is going to be awesome when it comes to that. And Enonais, if we want to go, we can go at any time. No one's forcing us. No one's telling us what we have to do. Everybody's telling us what we could do. And in that sense, listen, if we don't want to mingle with the rabble, we won't mingle with the rabble. It's a huge palace. If they're in the Chatzar, we can be in the Bison. If they're in the Bison, we'll be in the palace itself. It's really not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a deal. We'll hang out differently. We'll have our own little food. We'll have our own little drink. While they do their thing, we'll do our thing. So I'm not worried about stuff like that. Mordecai tried to explain to them, it's not about the kashrus. It's not about the mingling with the non-Jews, although both of those are extreme issues as well, and I'm not so sure you're entirely correct that that's going to be okay. It's really all about the idea, just to have a party for the sake of a party. There's no reason. He didn't tell them, and I don't even know if Mordecai knew that the purpose that Achashverosh had behind this party is to say that the 70 years of Golas Babel are up, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to save the Jews. I don't know if they knew that. It's possible they did. Maybe Mordecai did know. But he might not have. He just said, just a party for the sake of a party is not worth it. A 180-day party for no other reason. That's not what we do. That's just not the right thing. We don't make a mishnah to Simcha for something like that. And to that, they said, whatever. It's a party. It's not that big of a deal. We can do what we need to do, and it'll be fine. Only years later, when the decree was totally nullified, when it was buffed, and they were able to sit back, relax, and see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had done for them, at that point, they made a mishnah of the simcha, a simcha de gamil. There was kiddush involved. You notice. So Megillas Esther starts off with a mishnah, and it ends with a mishnah. But there's a massive difference in between. They party for the sake of partying. We party because Kadosh Baruch Hu saved us. The method of the party is different. They have an 180-day party where everything's all about a party. While we have one day in which during that day we have mitzvos to do. Kriyas Megillah, Mishloach Manos, Matanos Lav Yonin. We get involved in other mitzvahs when we're in the midst of this party. See, it's a difference in how to be able to go about your day and what to be able to do. USA Today, the famed newspaper. I don't know if it actually made the newspaper. It made their online news. And the online news, one of the top five stories yesterday. Top five. So we're dealing with some big stories over here. We have a statement from future President Trump, apparently. Okay, we have another statement, something that happened regarding the White House. Long, big story. There was something that was going on in Iraq, something that happened over there. I forgot what the fourth one was, but it wasn't so important. Right? And the fifth one. What was the fifth one? Does anybody know who Rob Gronkowski is? So you're already telling me. So now that you know that Rob Gronkowski is a tight end for the New England Patriots, you'll also know that Rob Gronkowski decided to have a party for the century. He brought in, I don't know how many, hundreds of people, and brought them in onto one of those boats that's going to one of these islands in the middle of nowhere, right? There are 1,600 people that are allowed on this boat, 1,600 guests. 700 of them, I'm taking a guess on that, were for him. And they basically took over the entire ship. And literally, they're doing nothing but party. So it's not an 180-day party. It was like a 5 or 6-day party. But this article was like the fifth most important thing that happened yesterday in the world, according to USA Today, is that Rob Gronkowski had an awesome time on his trip, and that all these people did crazy things, and that he was encouraging people to do whatever they wanted. Whatever they wanted. I'm sure there were no Jews on that trip, because why would they go, right? It's not kosher. There's no possibility, right? But it's amazing. This is literally Ahasuerus' party turned into a cruise ship that you have nowadays. You can't even imagine what kind of tumult was going on that ship. You shouldn't imagine what kind of tumult is going on that ship. It doesn't make any sense. These are people who I would assume have normal lives. Not him. I know he's a football player. It doesn't make a difference. But for everybody else, you'd assume that these people have normal lives. And nothing. Nothing. They're all just filled with absolute garbage. That's a mishta b'simcha that is no shaykes to simcha. I don't even know if it's holos. That might be on the level below holos, which is just pure and utter tumah. It's just pure and utter, I am the Satan and I want to destroy, and you're mocking to me that you're going to come with me to destroy your souls, to take away everything. That's the concept. Revolbi adds on to this idea, the concept of what it means to have simcha versus holos. He says that the galus, this is the only galus in which a malik is featured prominently. You notice, Golos Mitzrayim, we do not see Amalek. He comes afterward. After Kriyas Yamsuf, Amalek comes into play. Golos Babel, he's right there. We'll call Babel and Paras and Mabai together. We'll put the two together. He's right there, right in the middle, trying to destroy us. Golos Yavam, nowhere to be seen. We don't know about Amalek. Golos Edom, perhaps at the very, very end. Maybe at the very, very end there's going to be a war. Perhaps Gog has some shaykhs to Amalek, and there's something involved. There's something involved over there. But otherwise, you don't see him involved in Golos. Amalek is involved with Golos. He's there before, and says Revolbi, because Amalek's whole point is to knock us down from Shlemus. We went through Golos Mitzrayim. We're on a very, very high level now. We're getting up to the level to be Mekabel Matan Torah. We see Kriyas Yamsuf, and the Shifcha Alayam is seeing things that even the greatest Nevi'im were not able to see. The Shifcha Alayam. We're reaching a level of Shlemus. That's when Amalek comes in and says, here I am, I'm ready to destroy. Lost at level, when Mashiach is going to come, right before Mashiach comes, that's the possibility when Amalek comes in and tries to destroy us, tries to knock us down from the level that we're trying to get to when he's right there. And now, when Cyrus, Kores the First, gets up and allows us to build the foundations of the first base, of the second base of Mikdash, and Daryavish the Second is about to allow us, after Ahasuerus dies, Daryavish the Second is going to allow us to build up the second base of Mikdash. He allows Ezra and Nehemiah to go back to join Zerubbabel and Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, and all the others in building the second base of Mikdash. And that's about to happen. All of a sudden, Amalek comes in and tries to destroy us. This is where Amalek comes into play, when he sees Shlemus, when he sees perfection, and he says, I'm going to take it down. I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen. I'm going to make sure it's gone. So what does Hashem do? V'nahapachu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses Hashkacha, his Hashkacha, his allowance to let things happen in a certain way, and he turns the plan around. He allows Amalek to become the conduit to make us even greater. Amalek tries to destroy us, and we, after we destroy him, we're kimu v'kiblu. We accept the Torah again, in a higher form, in a better way, that brings us to a greater level, to a level that we've never been to before. See, it was Nasa v'nishma by the Torah, but we still have to have Kapalein Har Kigigis to accept the Torah Shu'al Peh. Now, by Megillas Esther, after everything's been done, because of Amalek, not despite Amalek, because of Amalek, Kimu V'Kibu comes into play. We're able to bring it around differently. We take on the Torah with a different bread, with an acceptance, says Tosfos, that we never had before. We created Shoals after this point. We created Shmona Esrei after this point. We put together benching after this point. All of this, except all this happened as a result of Amalek trying to destroy us. Again, not because Amalek tried to destroy us, so therefore we went up against him. It's the opposite. Through Amalek, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to flourish, to become greater. Maybe we didn't have any more Nevi'im, and the prophets ended right after this time. That Chag, Zechariah, Malachi were the end, and then everything was gone after that. It could be. But we started a brand new age of Tanoim. where Torah Shabbat have flourished like it never had before, where all of a sudden people are able to learn like they had never done before. It was a different world. We use Amalek to become greater. After the first mention of Amalek, the first time Amalek comes around, people at Achdus and joined together at Har Sinai to get the Torah. The second time that Amalek comes around, I'm not counting Shaul Amalek and David Amalek because we didn't fully defeat them. The second time that Amalek comes around by Haman, we're able to be Kimu V'Kiblu, re-accept the Torah, and literally change the Tshura of a Yid into Shoals and Shmona Esrei. And everything we do is different from what we had before. And the third time will be by Mashiach. That third time will be by there. Now we can see something. Making a party. Not because, just because we defeated Amalek. It's not that we were able to destroy 500 people or 600 people, however many people it was. We're making a party because we are now different people. We are now greater. We now need to have that, we need to show that simcha. Our world is different now. Our lives are different now. Everything about us is different. That's where real simcha comes into play. We're able to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu better, more, through our Limud HaTorah, through our Tefillah, which we were never able to do before. People had more access to Torah Shebaal Peh. People were able to understand what they were supposed to daven for, because Shemona Esrei was Mesader for them now, that it was put together. They had a place to go to hang out with other Jews in Shoals. That changed everything. Said the Megillah, Gemar Megillah, Yud Dalet Aleph. Rav Abba Bar Kana says the following: Gedola Hasoras Tadvas from Achashverosh, that ring removal from Achashverosh's hands, putting it on the hand of Haman, was Gedola, was greater Mikol Neviim, from all the 48 Neviim of Klal Yisrael and 7 Neviyos, and the 7 Neviyos combined. Take all the 48 Neviim and the 7 Neviyos that we had that kept telling people to do better, to do better, to do better. None of that worked. None of them worked. You'd hear me screaming at the people. I see the base that is being destroyed. It's within years. Within years. It's going to happen in my lifetime. And nobody listens. He calls over to Tzidkiah. You have one last chance. All you have to do is leave the city and make peace with Nebuchadnezzar. And the base of Mikdash will survive and you'll live and Malchus Beis David will remain. And Tzidkiah doesn't listen. And Tzidkiah tries to escape. They still won't listen. And Asaras Tabas all of a sudden brought all Klal Yisrael back. Think about this for a second. The ring was removed from Achashverosh's finger and put on Haman's finger. Does anybody know what day that was? The day that that happened? The date, I should say. Anybody know when that happened? It's a crazy idea. It's Yud Gimel Nisan. Yud Gimel Nisan is when that happened. They found out about it. Mordechai immediately donned sackcloth and sat crying at the gate. Esther sent a messenger, Hatha, possibly Daniel, to go find out what's going on. The messages go back and forth. And Esther says, fine, I'll go to the king. I'll ask Achashverosh to get rid of it. I need 3 days. He said, what are you going to do in those 3 days? 3 days, everybody in Klal Yisrael is going to fast. You're going to fast. You're going to make sure nobody eats, nobody drinks for 3 days straight. People, you can barely make it through a half a day of a fast day. You know what I'm saying? You can barely make it through Yom Kippur. And all of Klal Yisrael has to fast for 3 days. 3 days. For this? It just happened today. Give us a minute. Let's breathe a little bit. But Bnei Yisrael were so affected by the ring that being put on Haman's finger, they were all masking, every single one of us together, and they saw, the scene caused them to change their entire lives. Everything changed. They felt completely different. And they were all masking. Yeah, we'll fast. Oh, you mean we're not going to have the Pesach Seder that we've been preparing for this entire time? We'll fast through it. We'll do the Seder without the food. Now, a lot of you, when it comes to matzah, would feel the same way. But that also means you're missing Shulchan Aruch. Just put it that way. We'll do it. We'll stay up as late as you want. And we won't eat. And they did it. First night, second night, they're outside of Eretz Yisrael. 2 nights of Pesach. Two nights of the Seder. They fasted the entire 14th, the 15th, and the 16th, until Haman was killed in the day of the 16th. And that's when they celebrated, and that's when they ate. It's crazy. And why Yehuda Maisa Ora V'Simcha V'Selsim Bikor, that they ended up getting from that idea. Ora stands for Torah, and Simcha stands for Yom Tov, and Selsim stands for Mila, and Yikor stands for Tefillin. They're able to take on the mitzvah, so the new life, they're able to learn something different. See, the renewal is what caused them to have that Simcha. The Simcha came from within, not from without. It was not an idea of physically going on a roller coaster that's awesome. It's not a physical watching a baseball game and watching your team win, whatever it is. It's not about that. The Simcha comes from within. They felt different. They knew life was different. They realized that we actually like davening now. We actually like learning. We feel that this whole world is different. And when they did that, they said immediately, we have to have Simcha. We need to make a meal from it. That's the real Simcha. So what do we do on Purim? This is not the shir about drinking. That's not for right now. But we have to appreciate, and for that reason, we drink on Purim. Yeah, we drink on Purim. Because we need to remove those layers from ourselves, the layers, the physical layers that don't allow us to do what we want to do, and we want to reveal what's really down inside us, our desire to grow, become greater, and become better people. If that's not what's going to come out, if your drinking is going to cause you to have other things come out from your system, either words or food or whatever it is, then you shouldn't be drinking. Then you should have a little bit of wine, Yoster Mili Mudo, a little bit more than what you're used to, and that should be it. Tell me, when you see a hypnotist that says like, alright, everybody come up, I'm going to hypnotize you, I'm going to make you say things that you never thought you'd ever say. Right? It's deep down inside you, I'm going to bring it out. Are you scared? Are you worried about what's going to come out from you? Are you worried about what you might say? I don't know, you're sitting there and your mom and dad are in the crowd. What do you really feel about your mom and dad? Are you worried about what you're going to say? Or is everything perfectly fine? And you're going to come out and you're going to be like, yeah, I only love Torah. And I only want to do mitzvot. And I love everyone here. And I don't think anything badly about anyone. Or are you worried of what might come out? So this is what Purim is every single year. It's a hypnotist coming up to you and saying, are you ready for this? And for some people, it comes out really, really well. For other people, that guy should not be drinking. That guy should not be drinking. Aside from the fact that he just messed up my bathroom, that guy should not be drinking. He's not getting it. He's not getting what he's supposed to get out of it. It's got to be something different. You've got to come out with a Kiddush Hashem from your actions, not just the biggest Chilul Hashem you could possibly imagine. So what's today like, says the non-Jews to all the Jews on Purim? Well, it's kind of a weird day. We give gifts to each other, and then we drink until we pass out. Why? Because there was a massive Suda at Ahasuerus's palace, and they drank, and they passed out. So we want to be like him. I want to be like that drunkard right over there. Clearly that's not it. Clearly, right? So what is it? What are we doing? That's the pshat behind costumes. We're hiding behind masks all year long. And all of a sudden on Purim we're able to take off the mask and show who we really are. How do you test the person? How do you test your future wife? Well, I'm not suggesting you do this on a date, but either way, the Gemara says, Bekoso, Kaso, Bekiso. So her wallet, her anger, and how she drinks. Now again, hopefully she never drinks, and then you'll never have to test that, and you won't have to worry about that ever in your life. It's the way you really test out a guy. But regardless, that's the way you figure out what a person is. So should you drink on Purim? I don't know. What kind of a person are you? Are you the person that's not afraid of what's going to come out on Purim? Then drink. Because if you're not afraid, right, you think that it's going to be a really good, holy, holistic, Kedusha type of time, then of course you should drink. What are you worried about? Definitely drink over the age of 21. But if it's not, if that's not what's going to happen, if you're worried about the reaction, then you're not there yet. You're not ready for Purim. We're not on the level just yet. A Amalek still has his hold on you. And that's what you have to pull yourself out of and try to get through. It's our key. It's not about the holes. It's about the Simcha. Simcha comes from within. And if you don't have that Simcha within, you might not want to bring it out on Purim. You might want want to keep it in for a little bit longer until you're ready for that to come out.